This morning our theme is about beauty, God's beauty and the beauty of his creation, and how that fits into our theme of God's mission, our mission. And I thought it'd be good if we actually listen to a little bit of what the Bible says about God as the creator. And I've got 17 different Bible verses, or a couple of verses here, and I'd like 17 volunteers who'd be willing to read these out into the microphone so that we all hear this together and just reflect on some of what the Bible says about God as creator in a whole lot of different places in the Bible. So do I have 17 volunteers and 2 volunteers to hand these out randomly to people who are prepared for someone to come around with a microphone and then read them into the microphone? You go down that side, mate. Put up your hand if you're willing to do that, and someone will come around and hand you one of the things. Often when we think about the good news about God, we only just jump straight to Jesus. Well, in fact, God has made himself known from the beginning of time through creation. His general revelation of himself, one more to go, we need to see one more hand. Do I see one more? Oh, there we are, good. One more over here. Great, thank you, John. One more, Richie. One more, oh, still one more to go. You'll take it. Okay, good, mate. God, through his general, now, just those who've got them, take a minute to read it. Think about how you would say that to bring over the right emphasis of it, so we're not jumping it on you. But God, through his general revelation, has made himself known through all time. And it is only now that we understand, or when Jesus came, that we understand specifically how we can come into a personal relationship with him. But the starting point is God has revealed himself to us clearly through what he has made and what he has done. So I'm going to walk around and pass the microphone to the people who've got the verses, and please just speak when I turn it on. I won't turn it on for me because it'll whistle with 2 mics, but speak nice, like you're eating an ice cream, like nice and close into the microphone. Don't hold it down here or we won't hear you. So speak nice and clearly into the microphone as you read that verse out to us. There we go. The rest of us, and while it's not your turn to read, just quietly listen to these verses and let them go into you and absorb what they're saying. So we'll start over here. Did you have one? Someone who's... So pass them through there.
Psalm 95, verse 6. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
Romans 8:19-21. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time.
Before the mountains were born, or you were brought forth, the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
James 1:18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created.
Amos 9:6. He builds his lofty palace in the heavens and sets its foundation on the earth. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land. The Lord is his name.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
Genesis 1:26-27. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them.
Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here.
Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord.
Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth.
Psalm 139:13-14. For you created my innermost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well.
In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28 we read, Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom.
Psalm 121 verses 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Hebrews 3:4. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything.
This is from Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse.
Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you.
Covered everybody. Thank you very much for all those who read. It's nice sometimes to hear a variety of voices and see that great theme come through. And if you had been listening to where they came from, it was pretty much from right through the whole spread of the Bible. Comments again and again and again about our Creator God and the beauty of what he's made and the magnificence of that. And if we're going to talk about a theme like that, then it's pretty hard to do that just with words. We need some sort of visual sense of appreciating what God has done for us. And we're going to have a couple of video clip songs that are about God and creation and just really show that in a visual way, just to remind us of this amazing majesty of God, that he wants us on his mission to make known that he is the Creator God and that you can get to know him. So I'm going to play the first one, Creation Calls, and we'll have another one later in the service. Just watch and take it in.
Kids, come down the front. Come on down. I need volunteers today. Hello, how are you? Waiting. No pressure. All right, I need 5 volunteers. Now, you have to be able to do something. You have to be able to walk. So if you can't walk, don't put your hand up. Okay? You have to be able to turn. Can you walk and turn? All right, 5. 5. 5 hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Come up the front. All right. Now, can you put that on for me, please? Put that on. You'll know. You'll know in a minute. Who would like to wear this lovely belt? All right, who would like to wear these? Someone with a waist actually would like a skirt. You could wear these, Mia.
I can't put this on.
You can't put it on. Can I have an adult volunteer? Thank you, Jamie. Mm-hmm. To come and help the children get themselves ready. All right. We have a delightful gold belt there. That's for you. Are you going to be? Yes. Okay, Ollie. You'll need to sit down, Lockie. If you can't put the belt on, then you need to. Sorry, mate. When we're up in the room, I'll get something special for you to do there. All right. And this one for you, Lizzie. I'll help you. Hang on. Bonjour, everybody. I am Clausina Strangesta. And I am the greatest accessory designer in the world, in the universe. Sometimes. And today, we have for your delightful delectation an exhibition, wonderful exhibition of that amazingly important accessory, the belt. And if I had been thinking, I would have worn a belt myself. But I forgot. So, the music will play, and my wonderful, beautiful international modeling staff will show us their belts. Okay, you walk sort of slowly. All right. Okay, the first belt today is called the tie belt. Who has the tie belt? Sienna, our model Sienna, will show us the tie belt. Music, please. Okay, Sienna, a beautiful tie belt, saffron in color. The tie belt has many functions. It holds the clothes in and creates a beautiful shape. Not really good for holding up the trousers, but it will do. All right, the next belt is a beautiful gold braided belt. Ollie, our model Ollie with the gold braided belt. This belt is purely aesthetic. It will hold nothing up. Thank you, Ollie. Thank you. The third belt we have for you today is the leather belt, a black leather belt. Elijah, our model Elijah. This is an immensely practical, one of my favorite designs. It has holes all the way around it, so it doesn't matter how small you are, it probably matters how big you are. No, how small you are, you can still wear this wonderful belt. All right, the next one isn't strictly a belt. Suspenders. We have some suspenders. Mia, this is you, Mia. This is a wonderful innovation from many decades ago, back in the days when there were no belt loops. This is what kept your trousers up. Thank you, Mia. Now, the final belt is a highly specialized belt. It's the tool belt from our model, Lizzie. No tradesman would be without this belt. It holds screwdrivers and hammers, but the hammer fell out. And a tape and anything you could imagine with the tool belt. It is a wonderful invention used by carpenters and plumbers. Oh, and it works as well. Thank you. Thank you, models. Take a bow. All right, you can start removing the belts unless they really are holding your trousers up, in which case you can remove it yourself. All right. Now, kids, we're going to learn today about a belt I did not design. It is a wonderful belt designed by my friend Paulo. And Paulo designed a belt which is part of an amazing ensemble that we call the Armor of God. And it is the belt of truth. Dun, 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 dun. So let's go upstairs. Oh, I'm going to get run over by a Lamborghini. Go upstairs and learn today about the belt of truth. Thank you, models. Another round of applause.
God is such an amazing, creative God. And when we think about what he could have created, something very basic, just enough to meet the needs of the few animals or fish that he created or us as humans, but he didn't do that. He created this amazing diversity of beautiful colours in all of the creatures, an amazing diversity of geography and of all the plants and things that grow on those in all these different things, from rainforest to snowy mountain landscapes and vegetation and stuff. Amazing diversity. And God has placed something in us that is of his nature. We are created in his image. And so there's part of us that appreciates and looks to that and is drawn to that. And actually, that actually draws us towards God. And I think everybody has some innate sense of that. I mean, certainly people jump to science, some people today, and say, oh, well, I can explain a lot of these things, how they happened. But I don't think too many people actually buy that that rules out the sense of a greater being that is out there, that this just didn't happen. There's very few, you know, very strong atheists. Most people have some sense of a being that is out there in the universe. They might not understand it as God, but nevertheless, there's something of the universe, of God's creation, that draws people to him. And I reckon every single one of us has something, some place that really is special or where we really feel close to God when we're just out there in his creation. Think about that for a moment. Is there a special place for you where you feel close to God? I mean, I love four-wheel driving because it gets me out into remote places, up on tops of mountains, down in valleys, up beaches and places that are just beautiful and unspoiled. And to me, I feel really close to God in some of those places. When I occasionally go surfing and you paddle out the back and you sit out there and you're just out in that beautiful space, I feel close to God. But are there special places for you that you feel close to God? Has there been a special place where you've often gone when you wanted to be close to God? Has there been something about creation that actually drew you to God in the first place? Any thoughts coming? Are you thinking about it? Because I actually want you to do something with that thought, because we all have something that's special. I want you to share it with someone. Share with someone near you, two or three if you like, or just someone who's sitting close to you. Where is a special place for you? Maybe there's lots of them, but where are the special place or special places or special experiences you've had of God when you've been out in creation, his creation? Let's do that right now. Just chat with someone, just for a few minutes. And if you're sitting on your own, maybe someone can come and join you, or you can turn around and talk to somebody. The special places for you. You've sort of illustrated what this message is about anyway, is that we all have some sense of places and experiences that lead us and draw us towards God. And whether we are yet to know God in a personal way, or whether we have fully come into that relationship with him, and it grows and grows, our understanding of that, something of God that is about beauty and creation of beautiful things, and appreciation of those is a godly nature and part of his spirit within us that resonates with that, that draws us to him. And I would say that there are so many people out there who have this sense of the transcendent, who just need to know what it is that is that. Like Paul, when he was speaking to the Athenians, and he spoke to them, you've got all these gods that you're worshipping. You know, there's things that you're looking to, but you've got one there to the unknown God, but I can tell you who that unknown God is. And so in a sense, they had an appreciation of a spiritual being and were worshipping it through all sorts of idols and other things. Most people have a sense of a spirituality to life, and maybe they're just worshipping the creation rather than the creator. And we can start at that point with people. We can start actually having conversations about, where have you ever experienced God? Or those type of things where we're just talking about the beauty of something and acknowledging our acknowledgement of God being the creator can start a conversation. They may not agree with you, but it can start a conversation. And it's an entry point in beginning to help people experience more of God and then come to a place where maybe they actually understand that I can actually have a personal relationship with God because he's intervened into history and changed everything. And that we are actually, what it says, the first fruits of the new creation. And so we are being made new by God, the continually creating God who is beginning new things all the time. And so that starting point is often a good one, because you'll find lots of people who have had an experience of God in some way. And so not starting to talk about Jesus, but starting to talk about, where have you experienced God? Where is God sort of maybe in your thinking? Do you believe in something outside of what you can feel, see, hear and touch? And so on, is a good starting point. And often we want to jump too far down the line and not start where they're at in that place. Occasionally I've asked people when I've had an opportunity to have a conversation with someone, generally someone I don't know, maybe in an airplane or sitting talking to someone somewhere, have you ever had any experience of God? And, you know, they might be a bit taken aback at first, but I haven't had anyone who said no. They've all explained something about, oh, when I see a beautiful sunset, I sort of think there's got to be a God. Or the classic one that a few people have said to me is, when I saw our first baby being born, it just hit me, this doesn't happen by chance. There's got to be a God to see this amazing miracle of the birth of a new baby. And the other thing is too, that innate sense that people have got comes to the fore very often during times of tragedy in their life. Nobody turns to the atheists during a tragedy and says, help us explain this. The universal response is always to pray to God, where they understand who God is. Always there's a turn towards a greater force in the universe that they need to hang on to understand the way things are and maybe give some hope for those who have to deal with this. And we have a great opportunity in all of that to draw them closer to God and explain a deeper understanding of what that is. And just using those things, like the beauty around us, and it's not just beauty in terms of creation, it's beautiful music that can do that for us. Art can do that for us at times. Beautiful buildings, often perhaps to honour God. Now, when I grew up, I had a disdain for, ornate religious buildings. I thought, what a waste of money. But I actually have had opportunity to visit some beautiful cathedrals and places that people have actually built something that they wanted to do the most beautiful thing they could for God. And there's something in them that is amazingly beautiful. And just putting aside whether it was a good use of resources and money, it draws you to God to see the magnificence of some of these places that have been created to honour God, that are just literally beautiful pieces of architecture. Art, beautiful art, you know, people who have painted pictures that depict things that are just magnificent, or particularly some of the religious art that captures you in a way that words don't. Suddenly you will see a picture that just speaks to you and says something to you in a different way that words could not. And so I think we don't want to depreciate a lot of those aspects of life and just focus on, you know, sometimes Baptists, we're people of the word. You know, let me show you where this Bible verse is that'll tell you how to know God, without realizing there's a whole spectrum of God at work in people's lives, speaking to them, speaking into their life. And we can just begin to articulate an deeper understanding of what God is already doing in their lives. And so being on God's mission in terms of beauty and all those aspects of life that are great, it's more than just words. It's helping people see God in these things and us beginning to see God in them in new ways too, that can be really helpful for us in making his kingdom known to the people around about us. So I just want to leave a little challenge today, is that it's more than words. It's an experience of God that we're looking for, and God is at work in everybody's life already, and we need to just help channel their understanding, going on a journey with them to help them move from a vague sense of God or an appreciation of good things to realize that God has put this within us, wanting us to be drawn into that. And the ultimate outcome of the gospel is that we will get to live in the most beautiful, perfect world for eternity. God is going to make all things new. He's going to come and dwell with us in this earth when it's fully renewed. It's a bit ambiguous whether it all burns first and then he remakes it, or whether he renews it and comes to dwell back within it. But the clear answer is that it will be renewed and we will live in it for eternity, and it will be beautiful to be in God's presence. And we have an opportunity to give a foretaste of that. Well, the foretaste is all around it, but to make that known, that this is just the beginning of what God wants for us for eternity. What we were created for, to spend time in eternity with him in a perfect environment. There's a season where we have an opportunity to experience some of that now and introduce others to that. And then there will be a time when there's no more making of choices. We've made our choice and we will be with him or we won't. And do we let people who've seen something of the magnificence of God miss out on sharing in the perfect nature of that for eternity? Or do we help them move from that little foretaste that they've had into a deeper understanding and a relationship with him? The whole of creation worships God in a sense. It says if we don't worship him, the rocks and the trees will cry out. And in fact, they do. By their very presence and their very beauty and their very fact that they're speaking of God and his character is giving honour to God. And we want to do that too, by honouring his creation. And if you think about it, all the things that spoil creation are all to do with sin, selfishness, exploitation, and abuse and pollution. And none of those things are good things. We ought to be about the good things. Changing it for the better, preventing exploitation, fixing up the damage of pollution. And if anybody should be speaking out about those things, it should be Christians who want to see God's world reflect the way it should be and not be spoilt by man's sin and selfishness. And so even those things of standing up for those sort of things, that when it says rule over the world in Genesis, it actually is more about stewarding it, caring for it, tending it, than dominating it and exploiting it, which has often been an interpretation. And so are we good stewards of the world? Are we good citizens of the world that will speak up for those things that matter, that preserve the goodness of God's creation? In our own neighbourhoods, do we care that our neighbourhood is a place of beauty that people would want to live in? Or are we just happy to live there and go off to work and do our own thing and that? You know, neighbourhood care and things like that are even part of God's wanting people to experience something of what it's like to be in his kingdom today, so that they can look forward to something amazingly better in the future. You might think, oh, that's just social action and things like that or whatever, but I think it's part of God's whole gospel that we are to be carers of this earth. The place where we live should be as much as we can reflective of God, I'm not talking about a beautiful McMansion that you need to live in to demonstrate God. It's just how you actually go about creating neighbourhood and not letting it be spoilt by people who want to exploit it or abuse it, doing the things that will build it up and make it a better place to live in. All part of the gospel. And so this morning, let's appreciate creation and God working in and through his creation, revealing himself in that. The fact that he places within us an innate sense of appreciation of beautiful things, of beauty, both within his created world and in things that we create. And there's a value in that because it's part of God's nature that's within us. And that all these things can draw us closer to God, and we can help people come closer to God by appreciating and understanding of that. And that ultimately we need to go from that general revelation of God to his specific revelation in Jesus. And there's a time when we'll get to that opportunity to express that and share that, an understanding of that. And then when they come into a personal relationship with God, they can fully appreciate all that he's done for them and what he's got for them in the future. So creation is important. Beauty is important as part of the mission of God, that we make that clearly known, that God is a God of beauty, a God of creation, continual recreation of we see and what he's doing within us, and lead people on a journey to the place where they can know the Creator, that he's not just this force of the universe, you know, the Mother Earth or whatever else. God is wanting a personal, intimate relationship with us. Most of us have experienced that, but we need to be helping others to come to that place. And God's creation and beauty is one track that will lead people closer to him, that we can be part of that journey of explaining that to people, bringing them to the personal revelation of Jesus and what he's done for them to enable them to come to know God. So that's the message for this morning. I hope you really, you know, take away something from that. And I'm going to finish with another song video clip, again, visual, and takes on pretty much the journey that I've just spoken about. And that's going to be the end of our service. So I'm going to pray before we see it. And when it finishes, just maybe just take a few moments to reflect on maybe if God said something to you this morning, through the conversations that you've had, through the things that have been said, the songs that have been sung. And then when you're ready, just start talking, go and have a cuppa, and have a great week. Let me pray. God, our amazing Creator God, you have been so beautiful in all that you've done. We can't help but respond to you in some way of appreciation and gratitude for the magnificent place that you've created for us to live. Lord, the diversity and beauty of everything that you've made, we just are awestruck by that. But amazingly, the God who created this world, who created us and brought us into being, desires a personal relationship with us. And Lord, we thank you that you're not an impersonal force, but a personal God desiring a personal response from us. Thank you that many of us know you personally, and we can have that relationship. And we pray that we would be instruments of making your kingdom known, both demonstrating and declaring who you are and what you've done, that people would come to know you too in a personal way. Lord, speak to us today about opportunities that we might have. Make us more aware of ways in which we can connect with people and begin them on that journey, or take them further along the journey of knowing you personally and growing in faith with you. We thank you that we've been able to come together this morning freely, openly, and explore something of your truth. May we take it away now and begin to live whatever it is that you've spoken to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Watch and reflect on this last song, and then join us for a cuppa afterwards.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of the world again, 100 billion times. The one measure could amount to your desire.